Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And so as he rode into the city that week, he didn't ride in as a king. He rode in lowly and meek and on a donkey. And that was the same day that they selected the lamb for Passover.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of This is Love, Personal Relationship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of This is Love, Personal Relationship.
But God made it possible for us to be reconciled and have a relationship with him. But some of you might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, that when I was born, that I came into this relationship with God, and I was connected with God. But look what it said in Psalm 58 in verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born. That from the time that you were born, you were alienated from God. Oh, you say, oh, Pastor, how can you say that? That sweet little baby, that sweet little innocent child, how can you say that they were alienated from God? David said in Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. With a sin nature, I was born. I was alienated from God from the very beginning. I thank God, because I don't want to trouble any of you in your spirit. But I thank God that I believe in his word, that he lets us know that if a child dies, that he has made provision for that child to enter into his presence. I'm not sure how he does it, but he has done it. I would have to say, based on the blood of Christ somewhere, that that child has come through it. Not that that child has made a personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but I believe that somehow God has made a way for that child to go into heaven. However, that child has been alienated from God. From the time that you were born, you were alienated from God. You say, well, Pastor, I grew up in the church. I've been in church all my life. And there's a whole lot of people who've been in church all their life, and they've been alienated from God. So we see the power of this love. This is love. The fact that the God of eternity would step out of eternity in the time, would reach out to us to reconcile us to God so that we could have a personal relationship with him. You know, I'm reminded of that parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. If you'll turn there, Luke chapter 15. Verse 3, and he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he have found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 righteous persons who need not repentance. That I was estranged. I was separated from the fold. I was out doing my own thing, alienated from God. And he left the flock, contented to stay, to search for the one who had drifted away. What in the night? What did I see? It was the kind, gentle shepherd. He was searching for me. Thank God. Thank God. He saved me in time. And he loved me just like the 99. I was cut off. I was separated. I was on a cliff all by myself, separated from God. And he reconciled me unto himself. You who were alienated, God has reached down and reconciled. But not only were we alienated, we see also Christ loved us through our hostility. Look at a verse, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he reconciled. We possess, I know somebody's going to get offended this morning, but that's all right. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God's word. We possessed hostile minds toward God. The word enemies means hateful. That's what that word means, where it says that we are enemies. The Greek word translated there means hateful. Maybe you didn't do like this guy. And maybe you didn't ball your fist. And maybe you didn't shake your fist in the face of God. But through your mind, you had evil works. And you think about the fact that any sin that we commit, no matter how great or no matter how small, is an affront against the holy God. Any sin that you commit, if you murder somebody, that's an affront against the holy God. And then we have these things that we call little white lies. If you tell a little white lie, that's an affront against a holy God. And the fact that we have these thoughts that would even enter our mind to tell a lie, that we have these thoughts that would enter into our mind that would tell us things that are against God's word and against God's will, means that we have, and I'm going to go back and read it again, that we have hostility in our mind towards God. Yet Christ, in the midst of that, Christ suffered and he died. Even when we were enemies, even when we were enemies. Baptist minister Peter Miller was in Pennsylvania. He was a friend of George Washington. There was an evil man by the name of Michael Whitman. He sought to oppose and humiliate this minister every time he could. One day, Whitman was arrested for treason, and he was sentenced to die. Miller walked 70 miles. He came to George Washington, and he pleaded for the man's life. This minister who had been ridiculed, this minister who had been humiliated by this man, came and pled for his life. And George Washington said, "Peter," he said, "as much as I would love to, I cannot grant a pardon for the life of your friend." The pastor said, "Friend," he said, "he is the bitterest enemy that I have." With that, George Washington said, "You mean to tell me you walked all this way to save this man's life?" And with that, George Washington granted the man a pardon. And after that, they became friends, the pastor and his enemy. And they were no longer at odds or no longer in opposition to each other. Jesus came a long way, more than 70 miles. He stepped out of the portals of heaven, came to this earth. We who were enemies, we who had hostility in our minds, oh, but Pastor, Pastor, you don't know me. I was a good person. I did good things. I did good work. But you were still hostile in your mind towards God. That the very thoughts that you had were not always pure. The very thoughts that you had were not always holy and godly. That those evil thoughts were hostility against God. And Jesus left the portals of heaven to beg for your pardon. And when he died on the cross, he not only provided the pardon, but then he became our friend. We are no longer enemies. And just like Lazarus, that we can have this relationship. Oh no, not with the physical human Jesus that walked on this earth, because that was a special relationship between him and Lazarus. But by faith, we can have a relationship with God. This is love. This is love. The fact that a man that God would die for his enemies. This is love. The third thing that we see is that Christ loved us through our wickedness. Christ loved us through our wickedness. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let's look in the mirror for a second. Let's look in the mirror. Somebody say, yeah, that's not me. Romans chapter 3. In verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That you didn't seek God. God sought you. God looked you up. That you had no thought about God. You would have just traveled on with your life. If you were a good person, you would have traveled on being a good person. Being nice to people, you know, doing things that are nice. If you were an evil person, you would have continued down that road committing evil. You would have just kept going on. You wouldn't have sought God, but God sought you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. God sought you. He looked you up. When you were lost, when you had evil, when you had wickedness in your heart, this is love. That God sought you. God sought me. I had just been stoned out of my mind. The next day, Pastor Berkeley, over in Braddock, he came by. We were standing on the corner, getting high. No, there's no way, yeah. And Pastor Berkeley came by and started talking. We said, oh, man. We call him Ab, right? Oh, man, here come Ab, man. We know what he's going to say, right? He came smiling. He hung out with us a little bit. And after all we said, he gave us the invitation. God sought me. God sought me. I might have had a desire in my heart. I might have had a hunger, but God put that there for me to seek him. God sought me. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. Anybody here ever been deceitful? Oh, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. With their tongues, they use deceit. The poison of asp is in their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace, true peace, have they not known? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Christ loved us through our wickedness. All those things that you see up there on that little graph, Christ loved us through all of that. And even more, there may be even more. You might have to drill down into the fine print to see your sin. But it's up there somewhere. It's up there somewhere. In spite of all that, Christ loved us through all of that. You go, C.S. Lewis. Beautiful quote by C.S. Lewis. He said this: the greatest evil is not done in those sordid dens of crime that Dickens loved to paint. Look at this. It's almost like Lewis is in a business meeting, right? He says, it is conceived and moved and seconded and carried and put in the minutes. And put in the minutes. Where is it done? In clean, carpeted, warm, and well-lighted offices by quiet men with white collars and cut fingernails and smooth, shaven cheeks who do not need to raise their voices. Wow. Nobody escapes. Nobody escapes this evil that is perpetrated among mankind. But thank God. Thank God that we have a Savior. If you go to that next slide, who died for all your mess, for all the idiocy that you're about, for all the stink and the filth that's in our hearts. Now, Pastor, I'm not that bad. Well, didn't you just read Romans 3, verses 10? Now, I didn't say that. God said that, right? He's talking about unsaved individuals. Now, maybe, you know, you've progressed, and you're doing fine now that you're saved. But you know how it was before. And then again, some people say, well, I grew up in the church. Well, you still had to come to Christ, too. You still had to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there might have been things that you were dealing with that put him on the cross. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. That's love. They hung him high and stretched him wide. He hung his head, and for me, he died. That's love. That's love. That's love. Right there. That's love. Saints, let us not enter into this time where we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and not have our hearts gripped. Not have our hearts pricked by what has been done for us. That should have been me. That's hanging on that cross. That should have been me that died. But Jesus took my place so that he can have a personal relationship with me. And as a result of that, we see that he opened the door for us to have a personal relationship with God. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, Matthew records in 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks rent. The priest could only go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies one time a year. the Day of Atonement. We're going to be talking about that on Wednesday at Bible study, the Day of Atonement. One day of the year to offer up sins for the people. And if the sacrifice was accepted, the priest would come back out. If it wasn't, Josephus tells us that they tied a cord around the leg of the priest and that he went in there with a bell. And if they didn't hear the bell for a while ringing, they knew that the sacrifice was not accepted and that the priest was killed, and they would pull the priest out because nobody could go behind the veil where the presence of Almighty God was. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn into for everybody to see. You know, it was interesting. I was reading, as I was studying for the message, John MacArthur. And John MacArthur said that this was Passover. So there would have been Jewish people from everywhere that descended upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem would have been overcrowded with worshipers coming for Passover. And in the midst of all that, God tore the veil of the temple into to say, it's not only the priest one time a year who has access to the Holy of Holies, but now every believer in Jesus Christ that were alienated, that were enemies, that were wicked, you have access to come into the presence of God. Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved Lazarus. Think of the fellowship that they had. You don't love somebody by not fellowshipping with them. Just think of the connections that Jesus and Lazarus had. And for three times it to be recorded that Jesus loved this man. And as I said earlier, I'd be jealous of Lazarus. But I don't have to be now. Even though I can't do it face to face in the flesh, that I have access into the presence of God because the veil has been torn in two. If you go to the next slide, there was a wise man, and he was studying under a tree where it was beside a river, and there were thick roots that went out from this tree and went into the river. He noticed a scorpion that had got caught in the roots. And he went over and he tried to free the scorpion. And every time he tried to free the scorpion was stinging. But he didn't stop. He tried to free him. Somebody came along and said, "What are you trying to do?" He said, "It's in the nature of that scorpion to try to sting people." And the holy man said, "But it's in my nature to save. And I'm not going to let the nature of the scorpion change the nature that's in me." It's in our nature to sting. It's in our nature to lash out. Hey, 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 hey. But it's in Jesus' nature to say. It's in Jesus' name to say.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of This Is Love, Foretold by the Prophets. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This Is Love, Personal Relationship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, Personal Relationship. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, Personal Relationship. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.